This is Linda Ferguson at the Midwest Genealogy Center. I'm talking with Mr. Donald Potts on September 16th, 2017. Mr. Potts, there are some questions there. We can use them or not use them. We're here to talk about whatever related things you would like to talk about. But let me ask, how old were you when you served?
When I served, I was 23. I served 23 years old.
And did you see combat?
No, I will remain stateside. Let me interrupt you just a minute. I'm glad to tell you my story, but I told Jenny downstairs that my brother-in-law was a B-29 flight engineer. Didn't come back from a raid on Tokyo in January of 1945. And then last Sunday, the Commemorative Aircraft Association had a B-29 flying into what used to be the Naval Air Station in Olathe. And they were selling rides to raise money. So I bought a ride as a cockpit observer right next to the flight engineer's position. And they were nice enough to let me put a little commemorative plaque at the engineer's position, you know, in memory of my brother-in-law, Bunny Black.
So you're here to talk about his story.
Yeah,
that's just fine.
Okay,
I can
give you a brief interview.
Well, tell us a little bit. Tell me a little bit about your own military service, and then we'll move to hearing
that's
about
great.
Him.
Thank you. I was drafted, and I was sworn in on the day they signed the ceasefire in Korea, July 27, 1953. I spent a month in basic training. And then they sent me to the counterintelligence school in Fort Hollowburn, Maryland, after giving me some tests. And I ended up as a special agent in the counterintelligence corps for the U.S. Army. That was pretty neat and kind of exciting at times and very interesting. My wife said they put me in counterintelligence because they could tell I was against it. But I got to do a little undercover work and some other things. It was interesting to the point where I thought that if I didn't make it into medical school, which I eventually did, that I wanted to be an FBI agent, and that they would have given me credit for my counterintelligence corps training. Anyway,
that is an interesting enough service in itself, and thank you for that.
It was. Because there aren't a whole lot of counterintelligence agents around, not very many anymore. There's an organization in Kansas City of ex-CIC agents. So I got out of the Army, went into school, back to college, and then eventually medical school. Got my degree in 1962. But I'm here to talk about my brother-in-law. When I was 14 years old, my sister married a man who at that time was a second lieutenant. His name was Bernard Black. He was originally from Maine. His nickname was Bunny, and that's all anybody ever knew him as, Bunny Black. And they met at Graceland College and eventually married. And shortly after they were married, he got moved to Pratt Air Force Base, and they moved to Pratt for a while. That was a training ground for B-29s. B-29 was the largest bomber that could carry the highest bomb load, and that was very important for the war on Japan. And then after he finished his training as a flight engineer, he became a first lieutenant and was transferred to Saipan. Now, if you know anything about Saipan, that was very, very critical to have Saipan as a base, because that meant the B-29 bombers, who had a shorter range than a lot of them, could be based in Saipan, go to Japan, then come back again. Guam was too far away, and a few other places were. But he ended up on Saipan, and it was a big base of B-29s. Several hundred B-29s were based in Saipan. Didn't know a lot about what he did because of security purposes. But on January 9th, 1945, he was involved in a raid on a large industrial place near Tokyo. along with probably 40 or 50 other B-29s. And the raid was successful as far as they were concerned, and he was headed back. And then south of the land, Japan land itself, he was over the ocean there, or the sea. And most of the planes got back okay. But he radioed, or his plane, which was called Wadi's Wagon, radioed and said that there was a crippled plane close to them and it was slowing down, and they were going to slow down and keep up with it in case they had to ditch so that they could radio the position and hopefully find survivors. The War Department telegram said they were never heard from since. So my sister at least knew that they were on a mercy mission. Wadi's Wagon was named after Wadi Young, who at one time was a famous quarterback for the University of Oklahoma back in the 1940s. He was the pilot, and so they named it after him, Wadi Young. His name was Walter, nickname was Wadi. And it became rather famous. In fact, there is someone who's doing a documentary on Wadi's Wagon. So what I told Jenny was that last Sunday, I read a little bit ahead of that, that the Commemorative Aircraft Association of America was flying a B-29 into the old Olathe Naval Air Station, which is now Century Airport or something like that. And for the first time, they were offering rides. I had seen it before when it was here 3 years ago, but this time they were offering rides. And I couldn't help myself. I signed up to pay for a ride. It's a fundraiser for this organization, to be a cockpit observer in a B-29. And that seat was right next to the flight engineer's position. So I got a chance to see exactly what my brother-in-law Bunny did as a flight engineer. What I learned was the flight engineer actually flies the plane. The pilots just steer it, but the flight engineers have the throttles and the brakes, and they do most of the flying, actually. They sit facing backwards, so they have a look out the windows to see where they've been and make sure nobody's creeping up on them. So for about an hour, I spent sitting in my seat and taking some pictures of what the flight engineer did, and realized.
And so you were facing backwards?
No, I was facing sideways, actually. Right across from 5 feet away from the flight engineer, could see what he was doing. There's a big panel with probably 40 or so gauges and meters on it that he had to look at all the time to make sure everything was going okay. Later I'll show you some pictures I took. But because of my interest in Bunny, actually I tried to get in the Air Force when I was old enough, and I was turned down because my teeth stuck out a 16th of an inch too far. So I ended up in the Army as a draftee. When I heard about this plane and signed up and was accepted, I went to a place that does awards and presentations and had make a little plaque, about 3x4, just honoring Bunny Black. And I asked the flight engineer before we flew if I could possibly put it up there in the flight engineer's position. His answer was, absolutely. So we got to visit with each other, the current flight engineer, and I told him about my brother-in-law. So that was a very emotional experience for me to be there and see what he had done 60 some odd years before in the airplane, one of two airplanes that are still airworthy, the B-29. So that's my story on Bunny.
How did you get the details? Was it from War Department communications?
Yeah, telegram that my sister got when they told him that he had gone down and was reported officially missing in action. But they were sure. In fact, the index that shows the history of all the B-29s, many hundred of them, showed what happened to them. And his said ditched on January 9th, 1945. So that's what they assumed happened. So actually, officially, he is not dead till a year later, but that we know that's when he died.
How old was your sister when she was widowed?
When she...
When he died.
Oh, when he died, mm-hmm. She would have been 32. Yeah. No children, which I think was probably by design.
And he was right at the, he was lost right at the end of the, I mean, the war was only a few months.
That's true. It was a few more months before the Japanese surrendered. But, and they had almost daily raids on Japan from Saipan on the B-29s. They lost quite a few. Some of them whose engines quit after on takeoff, and so they lost several of them. And there are a crew of people interested in salvaging some of those B-29s that were still in shallow water. Where Bunny went down, it was much deeper. We know pretty much exactly where he went down, but the water was very deep there, and so no way that we would ever find anything more about it.
Well, it is good to be keeping this story told. And that's what you're doing here today, and that's what you did at the Olathe Airport.
Yeah. So, like I said, it was a great experience, and I would have paid 10 times as much to do it, just because I wanted that experience and know what it was like for him. So he's still remembered.
Have you continued to be interested in the history more generally of that time and place?
Oh yeah, I always was. Because, you know, I was, like I said, 15 when he died. So I was listening to all of the reports of the Japanese. I remember I was 11 when Pearl Harbor was bombed. And all I remember at that point was getting on my bicycle and running around the neighborhood yelling at everybody, Pearl Harbor just got bombed. I had no idea where Pearl Harbor was or how important it was. But I remember at age 11 doing that. And so I kept up with the different wars there in Iwo Jima, Kwajalein, and some of the other things that we had in the Philippines. And so it was something that I became interested in. Visited the World War II Memorial in New Orleans, and they have a lot of stuff on the Air Force and B-29.
I've been there as well.
Oh, it's a neat place.
It is.
Yeah. No one asked me to tell that story, but... and I didn't know there was this index. One of the men who was there waiting to get on the plane with me had this big index of about 3/4 of an inch thick of all the B-29s and what happened to them. I forget how many were made. I don't know, 13,000 or something, a huge number of B-29s were actually, mostly by Boeing, if not all by Boeing, down in Wichita areas where they were all made. So that helped be able to look it up and see exactly what happened and what information they had on it. And I found out for sure what the marking was. The markings on the rudder were in large letters so everybody could see them from miles around. And his was A²5, and they had they all had a letter and a symbol and a number. And they had T square, T triangle, T diagonal, but his was A²5. So when I go back down to New Orleans, I'm going to look and see if they have any pictures of an A²5 down there.
So it's a story that you're continuing to find the details of.
Yes, and like I said, there's this man who's doing a documentary on Whitey's Wagon. I've got to send him some more information. He keeps asking me. He asked me if Bunny had any children. I said, no. He said, are you sure? A lot of those guys did other things anyway. But no, I'm sure, knowing him, he was a very religious man. And a lot of fun, just... I was so pleased that my sister decided to marry. She ended up, after he died, marrying a good friend of his who went to Graceland with Bunny. All three of them went to Graceland. So Bunny and his successor, Paul Frisbee, they were good friends at Graceland. So it made it kind of nice. So Betty was able to keep a lot of information about Bunny with her, and it didn't bother Paul at all.
Well, it's a very interesting approach to the interview, and these questions don't pertain, but is there anything else you'd like to to go on record with on this topic before we've wind up.
I think that's about it. It was just, what an exciting time to be in that beach with him.
Yeah.
To be in that beach with him. Excuse me.
Oh, it's wonderful. The timing of that was very good, too. It helped you kind of put some things together and solidify
some images. Like I said, it was just, and I didn't find out until 2 days ago that they were having this, so this is nice to be able to talk about that, too. It's a little different, I understand. I still think it would be a good idea for every young man and woman to spend some time in the military. It gives you a completely different outlook on life and how important it is. I love that statement out there. It says, if you can read this, thank a teacher. If you can read it in English, thank a veteran. Okay.
Sounds good. I enjoyed your story very much, and I know it will be useful to others.
Thank you, Linda. Enjoy visiting with you. I did most of the talking.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, okay.
Stop.